Good evening, New Yorkers, young and old alike. You're all invited to gather around your radio and listen carefully, for by now even the youngsters in the family must know the reason why they're unable to read about Dick Tracy, why they haven't heard from Joe Palooka in over a week, and just what has happened to Red Rider and Little Beaver. No, it's not all part of a dastardly plot to keep you away from your comic strip friends. Rather, it's a delivery strike that prevents you from learning all about these people. We hear all about General MacArthur's advances against the Japs during the news broadcasts over this station. But now here's some equally important news, the news of your favorite comic characters, as read for you tonight by Peter Donald of the Can You Top This program.
Hello there. Well, yes, I got all the comics here, and they look pretty good today, too. My wife is home listening, and if she doesn't find out how Joe Palooka made out and if he got eaten by those sharks, I'm not even going to get sardines to eat for dinner. So I think we ought to start right off with Joe Palooka. And if you listen real close, maybe I'll give you a little preview of tomorrow's Joe Palooka. I think I got that hidden away here somewhere. All right, now in the first panel here, well, Joe was not eaten by the sharks. He has swum back to that rock where he left Jerry Leamy, and he hoists himself up on the rock and he says, "Hey." And poor old Jerry with the gun there, you know, he's on guard and it scares him. And he says, "Huh?" And he gets all scared. And then Joe crawls up on the rocks and Jerry, he's all breathless. He says, "Criminy," he says, "I thought you was et by sharks. I was going nuts, Joe." And Joe squats down. He says, "Listen, I heard him talking. He's coming by sub. Do you realize something? We might make the biggest haul the world has ever known, Jerry. If we play our cards right, boy, and you keep your fingers crossed. And that means that maybe they're going to get that number one Nazi coming on the submarine." And in the last picture here, they're getting dressed. Joe is getting all dressed, and they got the gun, and they look like they mean business. Okay, now let's go over. That was, of course, from the Mirror. Now we go over the Journal American. And let's have a little of the Thimble Theater and Popeye. And Popeye is climbing up, too. Popeye and Wimpy and Olive Oil are climbing up. They just have reached the top of a big mountain. And Popeye says,
"Okay, you wanted to come to Paradise Peak for a picnic. Now that we're here, so what?"
And Wimpy's puffing, and Olive Oil says, "Well, I didn't want Wimpy to come along." So in the next picture, Popeye is laughing.
He says, "Well, there has to be a serpent in any paradise. Go get some water for the lemonade, Wimpy."
So Wimpy says, "Very well, sir." And in the next picture, he's got the bucket, and he's going to get some water. And he says, "Gee, I'm so hungry, I could masticate a mastodon."
Well, you know, a mastodon, that's a prehistoric elephant. It's bigger than an elephant. It's a big monster. And in the last picture, Wimpy looks suddenly at the ground, and there is a big footprint. It's enormous. And it doesn't look like an elephant's. It looks like a man's. But the man would have to be about as tall as the Empire State Building. And Wimpy's just looking at it, and he says, "Oh." So we don't know what's going to come along that with that big guy. All right. Now let's go back to Joe Palooka for a minute, because I want to see what's going to happen here. It says here, "Let's look in at a Navy tactical headquarters in the Pacific." And in this picture, oh, there are a bunch of high-ranking officers. I see one four-star admiral and a couple of two-star admirals and a lot of lieutenant commanders, and they're all looking over a map. And the four-star admiral says, "This island here is part of the Dutch East Indies group. It's more than 400 miles away from its nearest neighbor, and here is Magalong and Bankalak." And then in the next picture, he's pointing somewhere else, and he said, "Our landing will be at this point. All aerial photographs show nothing but native life and one large rubber plantation. Whether or not the enemy has much hidden strength is unknown." And then he turns to another fellow. He says, "Take over, Bill." And Bill, who by his insignia looks like he is a full commander in the Navy, said, "Well, the island had one settler, a Dutchman known as Druten. In October 1940, the last trader to visit the island was a rubber company boat. The following is from its log." And the next day, I guess he's going to read from the log, but it looks like they're going to land on that island and where Joe Palooka and Leamy are, and that's going to cause some fireworks. Now we go to Little Abner. You know, Little Abner was told by Mammy Yoakum that he couldn't shake hands with anybody because he had a dream that's how he was going to get killed. So here he is in the first picture, and pretty little Daisy May comes up to him, and she says, "Little Abner," she says, "all my natural life I has wooed you dog patch style, and all your natural life you has been miserable on account of it." And Abner just scowls at her. He says, "Naturally." Well, in the next picture, she holds out her hand. She says, "Well, I've been thinking things over. I've decided not to woo you no more. To make this the official ending, Let's shake hands on it. Well, of course, that's the one thing that Abner can't do. And he, he's so chagrined, he's so shocked, but he has to say it. He says, no. So in the next picture, Daisy dries her tears, she's smiling, she says, you mean you don't want to shake hands and make this the official ending? Oh, happy day. That's your sweet, sly way of hinting you don't want it to end. And she says, oh, you let the cat out of the bag. You loves me. And Abner says, oh, here we go again. One miserable little handshake would rid me of this whole cussed business. And she is chasing him down the road, and he's still running away from Daisy May. Boy, he's really in trouble now. Oh, well, you see what we got now. Here's Terry. You know what an exciting strip that is. Well, here's Terry. And he just come back to join Hotshot and April. And he says, well, Hotshot, that was some session. The officer in the Navy patrol plane really grilled us about everything on this island. And Hotshot says, do you suppose he'll believe that this place is free of Japs? In the next picture, they're still sitting around the campfire talking. And Hotshot says, you know, part of the stall was to check on us. And by this time, the big Navy man out here will know about you trying to draw more pay as a shave tail than as a flight officer. And little April says, well, what do we do now, Terry, honey? And they sit around the fire, and Terry says, well, the Navy ordered us to stay close to this fire tonight so we may be seen from some distance at sea. And April says, yes, but what about Mr. Pison and that old hutch? And that's where we leave them. They're in a little problem there. But in the last picture over here, it says, at this moment, on the far side of the island. And you see two fellas coming ashore. They're walking through the rocks. No, I guess they're three. There's another one here, and you can just see the silhouettes. But, boy, that looks like Yankee helmets to me, and it looks like that island is being invaded, too. Now let's get over to Smitty. Smitty has been having trouble with that sharp office boy at his office, so today he's standing in front of the mirror, he's brushing his hair, and he's smiling. He says, I'll get even with that smart aleck at the office. I'm not so dumb either. And in the next picture, his mother is pressing his pants, and he's calling out, says, you finished pressing my pants, Ma? She says, all ready. And in the next picture, he's got the pants on all pressed and the hair all slicked down. He's shining his shoes. He says, oh, look at that shine. I'll look like a million this morning. This gag ought to work good. And in the last picture, he's walking into the office past that other fresh office boy, and he looks so slick that the other office boy's boss turns to him and says, you bum, look how nice Mr. Bailey's boy looks. You're a ragbag compared to him. And oh, is that other office boy mad. I guess Smitty put it over on him that time. Well, now, how about a little of this? Yep, we got Dick Tracy for you. Oh, I love Dick Tracy. Well, now, Breathless is in that laundry wagon, you know. She's locked in the back. And Wet Wash is driving along. And she starts tearing up the laundry. She's taking the laundry and ripping it to pieces. And she says, hey, look what I'm doing. Now will you let me out? But in the next picture, Wet Wash is driving along. He doesn't care. And he says, I don't care what you're doing. He says, all I want to hear you say is 50-50. I want half of that dough. And then it says here, a half hour later, and you see the truck driving through the country, still driving way out in the country. There's nobody around. And she's getting worried. She says, where are you taking me, Wet Wash? Where are we? And he parks the truck, and he gets out, and she's still locked inside, and he sits down, and he's eating a sandwich and drinking some milk. And he says, we're just 25 miles outside of the city limits and hid away. And we're going to stay here till you decide to come across. And she's locked inside, and there he is, waiting for her to make up her mind to divvy up that money with him. Now let's see what we have here. Oh, here's Wash Tubbs in the World Telegram. And you know those two soldiers are taking back the two captured German officers. They're getting them back. They captured. And the Germans, one of them says, look, men of our rank herded like sheep by common soldiers? We will not budge another step. So one soldier turns to the other. He says, well, well, Bertram, listen to our little ray of sunshine. And the other soldier, in the next picture, he sort of scratching his head. He says, sunshine. That's it, Sarge. He says, look at them. They're kind of pale and anemic. What these krauts need is sunbaths. And the other fella says, yes, sir, we're going to deliver these mugs in the pink of condition. And in the last picture, they're driving along, all these Nazis, and they're all just wearing their shorts. They've taken their coats and pants off, and they're shivering and moving along. And the Americans have got the guns in their backs, and they say, throw out the chest more, fatso. And the other one says, I'd like to see that step a bit more sprightly. And those are the most miserable-looking Nazis you ever saw in your life. Now, let's see what we have here. Oh, Orphan Annie. Well, Annie's in trouble, you know. She's in court. And, brother, she's always having so much trouble when they print her on Sunday in the color comics. They have to watch out that when they print her hair in color, it doesn't keep turning gray just while you read it. I mean that. And now here's the prosecuting attorney's got her in the witness chair. He says, not content with your dastardly and foul deed, you now seek to blacken the sacred memory of that saintly and noble soul. He says, have you no decency? Are you the completely heartless little monster that your bloody act proves you to be? And Annie puts up her hand. She says, are you kidding? I never touched her. I was scared to death of her. And in the last strip, he's just looking at her very disdainfully. He said, oh, so perhaps you did it in self-defense, eh? Ha-ha, a likely story. And it looks like she's in for a tough time with that boy. Now, let me see what we have over here. Here's Gasoline Alley and Mrs. Brown. I don't care much for her, you know. She's that other sergeant's wife, and she's not so good, that Blender. So she says to Nina, Nina, it wasn't until I found a piece of your line and washing hanging to my car that I realized what I'd done. She said, I'm so sorry. I got in from the other side and had no idea, so I washed the laundry up and I'm returning it. So Nina looks at her. She said, that's all right, Blenda. I couldn't believe you saw it, but she doesn't look as if she believes it much. And in the last picture here, Blenda has gone back to her husband, who looks a little mean, too, and she says, well, I hated to like poison, but I did my stuff, Brownie. I got her all sweetened up. Now it's up to you. And he says, okay, but remember, if you hadn't been so loose with our dough this month, I wouldn't have to do it. They're going to make trouble for that nice little couple, Skeezix and his wife. Well, have we time for one more, do you suppose? Can we do one more? All right, let me see what we'll do here. This is here's a pretty good one. Here's Barney Baxter, and he's talking to that Indian. You know, he's trying to get him to work on the airport. And he says, now you're foofed out on your first two questions. Now, this is your last chance to become a pilot. And the Indian says, oh, give out, boss. He says, well, let's say that all my pilots, mechanics, radio men, engineers, and everyone all decided to quit over some silly thing. What would you do? And he points his finger at the Indian. And the Indian says, huh, let them quit, boss. You and me run them airplanes. And in the next picture, Barney is outside and he can hear this conversation. And Gopher Gus says, don't be silly. You couldn't handle all those jobs. Besides, you don't know how to fly a plane. And the Indian in the last picture, he's smiling. He says, I know, boss, but don't you think it's very loyal speech for me to make? Is that about all the time we have? Well, I guess that's all we have for tonight. But it's been a lot of fun, and I'll be reading those funnies for you again sometime. Good night. See you in the funnies.
Thank you very much, Peter Donald. Thanks on behalf of the 7.5 million youngsters of New York City. For everyone who reads the comics, he is young in heart. And we all appreciate your consideration in coming down this evening to read the strips over the air for us. And remember, too, listeners, that as a special service for the duration of the New York City newspaper delivery strike, your city station will broadcast two daily comic strip roundups, the morning papers at 8.05 a.m., in the afternoon and evening papers at 6:15 p.m. as read by members of the Can You Top This program. So listen in, won't you? And remember to keep your dial at its present setting for all the latest world as well as local news. This is the Municipal Broadcasting System.